The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Seek Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And if I had a Sonny and Cher song right now, Zeke, like You and Me, Babe, I guess that's what we would play.
Yeah.
It's just you and me, babe.
Just us. Yeah.
Everybody, it's good news, Zeke. It's good news. I know we're up to it. David is taking some well-deserved time off. Actually, he's not taking any time off at all. He's working on a family project. Good for him. Zeke, it's you and me, but it's our HVAC weekend, right? So those are always really a good weekends because we get a lot of great calls, a lot of great information put out there, and always grateful, you know, for the participation that you bring and the information you bring. And I know you would not say this in humility, but we're grateful for the honesty and integrity that you bring to the industry. For David and me, it's like super helpful because we don't have to worry about, okay, go talk to Zeke, go talk to Scott, and we know people aren't going to get sold something that they don't need, right?
Right.
And you guys do electrical as well. I always forget to. Well, I think I say that in the title stuff, but we don't talk about that quite as much. So if you got electrical questions, as the saying goes, the doctor is in the house. So give us a call. Zeke, I thought this morning. And, you know, I usually try to run down topics and then you can say, yeah, no, or add stuff to it. But for some of the things that I thought could be good to talk to this morning, number one, personal stuff. I helped some friends. I have some friends up in Cumming, Georgia. And they had to replace. I've been helping them with just it's an interesting scenario. They've added some things and they're actually helping the community folks out. And so I help them just kind of stay on top of the maintenance for the house. And we've been doing HVAC. All their systems were like, I think the one that we just replaced this week was 20 years old. And then we replaced two about a year ago. And they were each 18 or 19 years old. Well, one might have been 13 and one. Anyway, who cares? They were old. And they weren't really taken care of. They had a maintenance agreement with a company that was less than reputable. And so stuff wasn't happening, so we had to kind of clean all that up. But I want to talk to you about some of the decisions we made on there because it was interesting how everything transpired. And part of it was, you know, the multi-stage solutions in HVAC, and it turned out to be pretty important for us. I don't know what it looks like in Charlotte, North Carolina. I was in Wilmington, North Carolina last week, and the pollen is here again.
It's killing me.
It just brutal. And that's right. You really get hammered when that stuff happens, right?
Yeah.
This is the first year that I've actually personally had to deal with it. Like, I can feel it in my head, and maybe I'm just getting older. But, man, I want to talk about several different aspects of that. And then I think it sort of begs the question on ERV systems. And we'll talk a little bit about that. And then I'd love to talk about indoor air quality at large. And instead of just saying, hey, you know, pollen, it'd be good if we could talk about everything like humidity, microorganisms, pollen, dust, dander, all that stuff, and some options and some ways to think about that. And then always look for a regulation update on SEER ratings, refrigerant, stuff like that, rebates and things that might be available. And then everything I've got written down here, and it's probably plenty given we calls. And I guess I should pretend like this is a call-in show and say, hey, if you got a question, home improvement related at all, 704-570-1110. But especially this week, heating, cooling, air conditioning, or heating, cooling, ventilation, electrical. we've got an expert in the house, Azeka Acosta from Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. And so that's it. What did I miss, Zeke? What else you want to talk about?
You got it covered. The EPA regulations, indoor air quality, that's the big items right now.
I think it is, yeah. And I was in a meeting with some folks. I get a chance. I'm really very, very blessed. This goofy little guy, I get to hang out with some fairly impressive people. And there was some conversations about folks doing regulations, setting regulations. And it's always a very delicate balance, between putting regulations in place that make us and help us to be good stewards of our environment and economy and so on, and putting so many regulations in place that it actually hurts the people who are going to have to live with the outcome, right? And manufacturers are going to comply. There's probably some serious penalties. But I think it'll be good to talk about that and see what it is. I always sort of chuckle that we put regulations in place and then they become expensive, and so then you have to put like rebates and subsidies in place to get your, it just seems like a vicious circle in some scenarios. So we'll talk about the good and practical stuff and how it affects us day in and day out. And then look, that's it. We're going to be diving right into our first break. We want to hear from you. We'll talk about things that are important to you if they're not heating and cooling related. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. And give us a call. We'll talk about your topic when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
Zeke, thanks for being with us this morning. Really appreciate you. Folks, if you've got questions related to heating and cooling, air quality, we're at 704-570-1110. If you've got questions about home improvement at large, we're at 704-570-1110. If you want to buy a used automobile, we're at BR-549. All right, let's see. Zeke, let's talk about, let me run this by you and I'll get the benefit of your thinking on helping to make decisions. So I've known for a while that this unit up in Cumming, Georgia was going to have to be replaced. And honestly, we just were managing budgets and took care of the two most urgent a year ago. And then I knew as soon as we sent the inspection guy out there for this, spring inspection, he was going to have bad news, because really we had the bad news a year ago. So the system serves one particular area of the house, and the people that I work with down here are really good. It's the second best thing to having you or Scott. So I've come to trust them. They've been really good, and they share a lot of good information. They gave me three options, a good, better, best. It's a combination. We replaced both the cooling and the heating, the furnace. It's a gas-fired furnace. So the most expensive option was a five-stage air conditioning system and a two-stage furnace. And I understand that when you have a multi-stage cooling system, you also must have a multi-stage, a furnace, because... Is that a correct understanding?
Yeah, the indoor blower has to be able to match the speed of the outdoor unit.
So as it does all its tricky things outside with the condenser, if you just hook it up to a regular single stage, fan or single speed fan, then you might as well just have a single stage unit. Yeah, you actually could run into some problems. Yeah. I imagine if that condenser drops its speed and the fan doesn't, right?
Yeah, you lose dehumidification part of it as much. Also, in the heating mode, if it's a heat pump, the outdoor unit speeds up and your pressures get high, and your indoor fan does not move the right amount of air across the indoor coil. The pressures keep getting higher, and then you end up creating leaks things like that.
Yeah. So that was good. I had to get counsel on that to make sure that my understanding was correct. And then, so That was the most expensive. There was a mid-range, which was, I think, maybe fewer stages on the air conditioning and a multi-stage furnace. And then there was single-stage air conditioner, single-stage furnace, and that was the least expensive option. And honestly, when I do things for myself, I mean, I'm diligent, but when I'm spending somebody else's money, I really want to be careful. So I really nerded out, right? Zeke, I made a spreadsheet. Okay, here's all the three options. Here's what it's going to cost me to do it. Here's the SEER ratings on each one. And then here's the energy consumption difference between the SEER ratings. So the cost per month, the cost per year, how many years to get my, you know, savings back out of it, or my investment back out in energy savings alone. And I can see that that's a bit stilted, right, because there's some comfort factors.
Comfort factors and, you know, breakdowns. I mean, if you got it,
bingo,
any time on a unit, it's going to start breaking down more. So
yep,
with the new unit, you have more reliability.
So we had, and we had a comparison of what it would cost, right? And so there were two factors. We ended up picking the most expensive, which was like less than optimal from a budgeting perspective, because it's a tight budget, right?
Mm.
But there were two reasons that we went for it, Zeke. One was the warranty.
Mm-hmm.
The warranty was better. 10 years unit, 10 years labor on the higher end one, right?
Right.
And I'm like, hey guys, if you have two service calls in 10 years, the parts are covered, but you've almost made up the difference in cost of the units in what you're gonna save in labor. So that was one consideration. The other one was the major rooms that this unit serves are virtually 100% wood. They're beautiful. There's wooden, like shiplap type siding. All of the beams are exposed. The ceiling is tongue and groove, like pattern 106. It's a beautiful, beautiful room. Beautiful wooden doors with kind of like etched glass. It's really pretty. But in the summertime, guess what happens? All that wood expands. The doors don't close. The floors and some of the walls buckle. It's just a mess, right? They're like, wow. And so we ended up picking the higher end, the most expensive one, simply because it was going to solve the problems in the room with all of the, you know, humidity issues, right?
Right. Yeah, the wood, you know, wood panelings, and like you're talking about, or if they have a piano in mm-hmm. the house and things like that, it makes the humidity is something you really need to look at.
It made me want to ask you. So I'm like, I'm gonna talk, you know, to Zeke about this when we get together on Saturday. It made me want to ask this question. So totally get like. Because Scott always talks about, hey, comfort, comfort, comfort. Like, consider, like, how comfortable you can be and what, you know, heating and cooling is required to make you feel comfortable if the humidity is right. What, besides comfort, we talked about wood. You said pianos. That makes sense. I remember Barb's family had a big old baby grand piano. We now own it. But back in the day, it was just gas heat and air conditioning, and they actually had to have a little humidifier thing that hung under the piano to kind of keep the soundboard from warping or cracking or whatever all that does. What other things should you consider that could make that multi-stage air conditioner almost more than a nice to have, a must have?
Well, like you were saying, you know, the wood floors, got less problems with expanding and contracting because of the humidity. If even furniture, if you have any, you know, antique or expensive furniture, then it's going to be, compromised with the humidity issues and the comfort that, you know. Like you were saying, you feel a lot more comfortable with the lower humidity in the summertime, and then you know same thing in the winter. You got to have more humidity, but when you're talking about the housing, it's the whole thing. I mean, there's so much of the house is wood, the wood framing, everything. So it really does affect that. And then the if you're talking about the moisture in the crawl space, which also then you're talking about mold and mildew and things like that that can creep up and affect your house and your comfort.
So it is it's a multi-factor that you know I was really grateful for all the time I've spent with you guys because it made it very easy for me to explain to these folks, hey, this is what we're looking at, and this is why I think we should consider that. And the minute I talked about the dehumidification, like it was like I, you know, boom, the lights went off in their mind or went on in their brain that this was going to make a difference. I hadn't thought about, and it works both ways. When we go down and start talking about indoor air quality, I think one of the first things I want to talk about is not like what's blowing around in the air in your home, pollen and all that stuff, all that, although that is so prevalent right now. The first thing I'd like to talk about is just we'll spend a little bit more time on humidity and humidification, because I didn't do the math because I didn't know how, honestly. But if you think about, if you can keep the humidity down in the summertime, then the temperature at which you are comfortable is higher. So you can actually, you're running it more slowly, less energy. You can set the temperature higher, less energy. There's probably a geometric or a multiplier kind of effect in savings in that scenario, I would think. All right, we've got to take a break, folks. Zeke, I'm going to sneak away. We'll dive back into some of the other stuff. Maybe indoor air quality is probably where we go next, because it's just such a mess out there right now, and there's so many people just kind of really toughing it out. If you've got questions, we are at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Give us a call, and we'll talk about HVAC or any other home improvement question you got when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And we are ready to take your calls. Before we dive headlong into that, let's do our Home Depot product of the week. And this week, it's a David and I would chatter about this because it is, let me just say it. It's the Ryobi One Plus 18-volt cordless wet dry vacuum cleaner. And it's I love it for a couple reasons. Well, multiple reasons. Number one, it operates on the OnePlus system. So if you already have some of the Ryobi OnePlus batteries and chargers, you're in. The particular combination that I'm talking about here actually includes a 4-amp-hour battery and a charger. But it's 4.75 gallons, almost 5 gallons. That means two things. Reasonable capacity, and it's easy to move around. The other thing I like about it is it's got a place for storing the hose and storing the accessories. It's not that gangly mess that I have, honestly, with the vacuum, the shop vac that I use. The other thing is it's the canister is stainless steel, so it's super durable. As you carry it around, not going to get banged up, and it's not going to have rust and issues like that. So fundamentally, it's all in. It's got the 4-amp-hour battery. I think I said that's part of the OnePlus system. The other piece that I like about it, it's less than $150. They have the charger, the battery, and the entire system. So that's it. That's our Home Depot product of the week this week. It's a Ryobi OnePlus 18-volt cordless 4.75-gallon wet-dry vacuum cleaner with a 4-amp-hour battery and charger. And I said all that in one breath. Nice. Pollen ain't got me yet, Zeke. All right, let's talk about air quality, yeah?
Okay.
And before we go to the obvious culprit that's got funky yellow everywhere, let's talk about humidity, because we were talking about that in our first segment, first couple. Humidity is a factor both times, are in the heat of the summer and in the cold of the winter. Correct.
Correct.
And then how do you manage that with your heating and cooling system? We spend a lot of time, I guess, kind of on the cooling system. How does all of that work?
Well, on the cooling side, the air conditioner, part of the conditioning the air, by cooling it, it takes humidity out of the air.
Right.
And so it can be controlled with the air conditioner itself. On the heating side, you have to introduce humidity into the airstream. And there's different humidifiers, some that actually just run water across a panel, mm-hmm. and it evaporates and goes into the airstream. That works, but it also puts, wastes a lot of water because you only evaporate very little part of what you're putting across that panel.
Right.
And it is harder to control because, it only works when the furnace or the heating system itself is working, because you need that heat from the unit to evaporate that water.
Right.
That's one type. Then the other one is just a spray where it actually sprays water into the duct system. And those work fairly well. You do have some issues with it, with the minerals in the water stopping the nozzle, and you end up having to change the nozzle on a yearly basis. And if you don't have it set right, if any of that water does not evaporate and it hits the side or it drops down to the bottom of the ductwork, then you got issues with the water, extra water in the duct system. The other one is steam humidifier, which actually has a heater in it that heats the water and evaporates the water into the airstream. That can actually work even with the furnace is not working. So if you have a mild day and you still need humidity, it can add humidity into the house even though you don't have to run the heating part of the system.
So you're just using the blower and like a big, massive humidifier, like room humidifier, but it's a whole house humidifier.
Right.
Got it. All right. We're gonna be about a minute away from a break here. The steam version is what Barb and I put in our house here, and it's made a difference. Where we notice it, we're not so susceptible, at least not yet, to the comfort level. Although you do feel dry and stuff like that, but where we noticed it is, we did in the kitchen and in the family room. And in our dining area, we put, nice crown mold and some extra wooden trim features in. And the first season, we had been battling for years, like, okay, you got to caulk now because, it's dry. It's wintertime and catch it. Didn't have to do any of that after putting all this nice molding in because the humidification was right. All right, I want to talk. We'll talk a little bit more about the stages and some of the benefits of both comfort and energy on the air conditioning side from a humidification and air quality perspective. Folks, we'll also talk about any questions that you've got that may or may not be related. Zeke and I will go on for hours if you let us, and we're happy with that. But if you've got another question, please give us a shout. We're at 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. Going to take a little break, and we'll be back to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And we've got lines available at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We've got a call from Byron. Good morning, Byron. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. I hope you are.
We are. How can we help?
Yeah, I've got, want to put one of those easy traps. Let me back up a minute. We had our HVAC guy come by to do the spring checkup, you know, and of course he came up with a bunch of stuff that we ought to pay him to do, and one of them was to put in one of these easy trap clean outs on the condensate drain.
Mm-hmm.
But there's two drains. How do I know which one to put it on?
The main drain would be the one that the EC trap would go in. Is this unit in the attic?
No, it's in my crawl space.
In the crawl space, okay.
One of the drains has a P-shaped section after it comes out of the unit. The other one is just straight, and they're right side by side.
All right. As they come, they're normally about a quarter of an inch or maybe a half an inch, one higher than the other. It's hard to tell. The one with the main drain, it would be the one that they put the T in with the stand-up pipe on it. That would be the main drain.
And that would be the one that has the P trap version, dip in it, right?
Right.
So that's the one you want to get, Byron, the one that's coming out, and then it's got a dip into the bottom of it that holds, you know, some of the water, and then it flows past. That would be the main one out. The other one is an emergency overflow.
And the reason I'm asking is, there's all kinds of videos online, and sometimes they're good and sometimes they're not. But
yeah.
This guy suggested that one of those drains is actually under pressure, and so you don't need to put an easy trap on that one. The other one serves as a backup. Does that make any sense at all?
No, I mean, normally, if it's a let me back up. Is this an air conditioner or a heat pump?
This is heat pump.
Okay. On the heat pump, the drains, both of them would actually be in a little bit of a negative because the fan pulls across the coil, and as it pulls across the coil, it creates a little vacuum on it, and versus on an air conditioner, the fan blows across it, so that puts it into a pressure. But on a heat pump, basically both of them would actually be in a little bit of a negative.
But in the scenario when it's operating, Zeke, I'm just asking, when it's operating in heating mode and it's pulling the air across the coil and it's negative pressure, condensate is not forming. When it's blowing across in air conditioning mode, that's when condensate is forming. Is that correct?
Well, on a heat pump, it's in there negative on both heating and cooling.
Okay, but when is condensate, is like water being, is falling off in both heating and cooling modes, or just in the cooling mode?
No, just in the cooling mode.
And so does that make a difference on which line he puts that on?
No, it'd still be the
still
same
the big one.
One,
right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay.
Okay, I was just going to the fact that he was saying that
configuration on.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead, Byron.
Yeah. It's the one I need to put the easy trap on is the one that has the P configuration.
Correct.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much, because I was probably going to put it on the other one.
Well, I'm glad you called.
Yeah, me too. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Byron. Appreciate your question and your call. All right. There you go. Mystery solved. Byron's good credit to Byron, right? Because he's paying attention. He's like, well, they want me to do all these things. If you've got a reputable partner, yeah, probably the things they want you to do are the right things to do. And so, you know, good for him. But it makes a difference having that quick clean out versus trying to take stuff off and blow it out or what have you, right?
Right.
All right. We're jeepers. Let me see. No, we got plenty of time yet. I thought, oh, my gosh, we're right up against a break. We got plenty of time. We got 5 minutes for a break. So let's take another look at the humidification piece is pretty easy. And the good news about low humidity is, yeah, you got some things to work, woodwork, you know, floors, comfort, and I'm not disregarding or, you know, discrediting any of those things. The problem with high humidity unchecked is, yeah, you get potential for, you know, swelling in wood and cupping, or you wouldn't have cupping unless it was in the crawl space, but there's also a mold or fungus or a biohazard. That's a terrible word to use. There's mold, fungus. Right. There's fungus issues when you don't deal with hyper humidity, correct?
Correct.
So then you kind of walk us through why these are kind of how and these five-stage things or multi-stage things work and why you think it's a good idea.
Well, you know, the multi-stage really basically on the cooling side does the most effect because it does as it let's say you got a one speed system, mm-hmm. and it, on a mild day it's only 75 or maybe degrees outside or even 80 degrees, but it's raining where the humidity is very high, but the fact that it's only, you know, in the mild temperature, the air conditioner comes on and it comes on at full blast at 100%, mm-hmm. so it'll run maybe 10 minutes and turn off because it cools the air. Well, in that short time of running, it's only taking a small amount of humidity out of the air. While on a multi-stage unit, it looks at it and it sees that it does not need to run on high speed because of the temperature differences. And it'll run on a lower speed and make it a longer run time. Now, you say, well, it's running longer, it's going to cost me more. No, if it runs longer at a low speed, uses less electricity, but it still takes a lot more humidity out of the air, which increases your comfort level in the house and less humidity and less problems with possible mold and mildew.
Got it. So it's pulling air across that coil, and moisture is falling out longer, for a longer period of time.
Right.
So I totally get the comfort piece of it and the dehumidification piece of it, and I get that the if the compressor is running at a lower speed, it's consuming probably fewer amps also. But is it also true that when your system kicks on, the amp draw is the highest when the system comes on and then drops a little bit? And so if you convert amps into, you know, kilowatt hours, that going on and off versus running for a protracted period of time actually consumes more electricity. Is that an old wives' tale, urban legend, or is that
no,
true?
No, it's true. As the, when the unit comes on, it's always, you know, having to start from a stop position, it draws more electricity. And if you got an amp meter or look at your electric meter as it comes on, you'll see us spin a little bit faster. It's just using more electricity. Now, that's just for a short period of time.
Right, right.
And it's not so much the use of the electricity, but it's also the unit, the compressor itself, is having to draw more amps, so it's overheating for a short period of time. And that temperature change up and down also on the windings is not as good. And it's if it starts at a high speed and it's been stopped for a while, some of the oil might have drained out of the bearing. So now it starts with a dry bearing. So the less it has to start and stop, more it will the longer the unit lasts.
So there are multiple features or multiple benefits for the feature of having multi-stage. Even I didn't even think about it, but without that oil in there, it's almost like when you start your car, you know, and it's when it's negative 10 outside and the oil is, you know, like Jell-O down in the pan.
Right.
It takes a while to get it up
there.
Well,
you'll hear some of them, you know, the ticking of the valves because there's no, you know, that little bit of clacking at the right as it starts.
Right. All right. We're right up against the break. Top of the hour here. We're going to go ahead and take it, folks. Give us a call. We're 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We're talking HVAC, but we'll also answer any other home improvement questions when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
Thanks for being with us, Zeke. Lots of good information. Always grateful for your time and for your guidance. We've got Tom on the line. Let's get him on here. Tom, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
Hey, good morning, everyone. Thanks for all the great information.
We are glad to provide it.
My question is on humidity. What would be the best way to remove? I got a heat pump now.
Mm-hmm.
To remove the humidity from the inside of the house or whatever without spending a whole lot of money.
How old is your heat pump, Tom?
Maybe 15, 16 years old. But I feel like it's got there's a lot of humidity somewhere. And mm-hmm. It don't run and cut off real fast. I mean, it runs for a little while.
Yeah. Well, for one thing is, you know, so to do something to that existing unit, there's not much you can do to it. If you're talking about a 15-year-old system, a heat pump, the life expectancy is, 10 to 12 years. So you're past the life expectancy. And the reason the life expectancy on the heat pump is less than on an air conditioner, because the compressor is running both in the summer and the winter, so it gets twice the runtime. So I would just definitely look into a multi-stage system when you replace that system.
Mm-hmm. It has a two-speed fan. I mean, it's had that its whole life, but I was just trying to figure out something maybe I could put something else in the house that would lower the humidity or
mm-hmm.
something like that just for a little while longer.
Zeke, would a two-speed fan, does that imply that there's also a multi-stage compressor?
No, a lot of...
You don't have that.
Okay, yeah, all right.
The multi-stage or the multi-speed fans have been, on there for years before the multi-stage outdoor units. It's not easy, but, I mean, you could... rigging stuff up would work as far as being able to, on mild days, run the indoor fan on a lower speed. But that wouldn't, you'd have to have a...
Still not moving air moisture out, right?
Well, if the indoor fan is running on a lower speed, the coil will get colder and it'll, bring a little bit more water
cycling
out of the air.
Got it.
But it's just how do you switch it back and forth? You'd have to have a,
mm-hmm.
some relays and some, switches to do it. And, if you don't, it's not something you can do automatically.
That's a good idea. I never thought of that. Yeah.
Let me ask this question, though. So, Tom, it sounds like that's making sense in your mind. The question that I would have is, A, how much is it going to cost to rig it? B, is rigging it less than properly going to end up shortening the life of an older system?
It could if you don't, if you don't switch it back, when it needs to change because of the humidity. If you run it on low speed, if you run it too long on low speed, by the indoor coil getting colder, it could end up freezing the indoor coil.
Yeah.
And, you know, then you have some issues there, or liquid refrigerant getting back to the compressor and damaging the compressor.
So, Tom, let me ask this question. When you say without spending a whole lot of money, I'm presuming that getting a new system falls into your category of spending a whole lot of money, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. No, I'm with you. I'm totally with you. So, Zeke, make sure I'm saying this right. The number one easiest, best, most energy efficient way to answer Tom's question about humidity is to put a new multi-stage system in. It will be more energy efficient. It will remove the humidity. But it also falls in that got to spend a whole lot of money category. Here's what I would say if it was John in the same scenario. I would go buy a decent dehumidifier. If I could get one that had the little pump in a way that I could just pump it out so I didn't have to empty that silly, you know, whatever 40-pint thing every day, yeah. I would do that. And then I would start putting money aside to get that new system.
I've been knowing I got to do that.
Yeah, it's inevitable. It's right up there with death and taxes.
Yeah, the portable dehumidifier is the less expensive way of or a way to extend the final thing to replace the system. But like I say, if your portable dehumidifier, as soon as that tank gets full, then you're gonna have to empty it, and so it can be a daily or twice a day thing that you have to do. So you'd have to get one that can, you know, pump the water out or drain, you know, run a line out to the outside from the dehumidifier.
I don't know if this is right or not, Tom, but what I did is I have a little room in the basement that isn't conditioned, and so I put a dehumidifier in there. I put one that has the pump on it. And I ran the tube over to my condensate pump. And so it hits my condensate pump. And because I can't, there's nowhere to get it outside just by itself, right? So I put it to the condensate pump. The condensate pump takes it out of the house, and it takes it out of the house away from my foundation so I don't have moisture issues there. Might be something to think about if that
could work for you. Yeah, that's really good. That's a good
idea. Okay. Yeah.
Y'all got a lot of good info. I sure do appreciate.
Well, it comes with age.
Information.
All right, Tom.
And I know who to call. I know who to call when I need an air conditioner too.
There you go. You got him here. We appreciate you, Tom.
All right, y'all have a good one.
All right, see ya. John is out there, but we got to take a little break, folks. So, John, don't go away. We're going to take a break. Be back to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show, and then we'll get your questions right after this. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And we are taking calls at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. John and Lynn have done that. John, you're up next. Good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
Morning.
How can we help, John?
Hey, I was just going to bring a comment up. I'm also an HVAC guy, and I do a lot of home inspections. Mostly I'm finding that it's not just the air, it's the building envelope. And some people have improved their insulation to where they seal the house up. The humidity is a worse problem because the older homes are able to disperse the humidity despite the energy or the HVAC system. So when some houses, they upgrade the HVAC system, but the building itself, the house, is a sieve. And there's two parts to that. So you can have the greatest system out there, but the building could be leaky, or the building could be super tight, and you don't have a good enough system.
Right.
And you can have humidity issues, which are worse if you don't match them right. And there's two parts to that. This energy code they came out with some time ago, both of those have to match pretty well if you're doing a high E home. And a lot of the houses I see that are higher energy efficiency, they're matched out of the gate. But the ones that retrofit,
right?
You really need to look at both parts. And it's it can have a lot of organic growth due to that. I just wanted to bring that into it.
No, that's so
it's not just the HVAC, but the building or the house could have major leakage.
Not major leakage. So, John, thank you for that. Is this John Cannamella?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you. We thank you on any of a number of fronts, this and all the different guidance and advice you give us. But, John, it's almost like you read our outline for this morning's show, because the next thing down the list is ERV, when you need to bring fresh air in and when there's too much fresh air coming in. So perfect segue. We're going to get Lynn, but I think you make a super important point. And as you point out, if you've designed it with the construction of the house or renovation of a house, great. When you retrofit, that's when you get in trouble. And that's where Zeke and Scott always talk about it's really mandatory when you replace a system, but a load calculation needs to be done, and it needs to include all those things. So awesome guidance, sir. We are always grateful for you.
See ya.
All right, have a great one, John. All right, well, Zeke, we're going to come back to that. It is next on our list. So, and I know you guys have some comments on it, and I want to make sure we get everybody on board. Lynn, you're next up on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Just fine. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I've got two questions. First one is, in my parking area, is concrete. It's been there about 20 years, and I'm going to have it pressure washed because there's a tree or two above.
Mm-hmm.
After I have it pressure washed, should I put some kind of sealer or something mm-hmm. on the concrete?
You should. It's better for the concrete. It'll make it easier to keep the concrete clean. You can probably clean it off next time, maybe even just with a garden hose or sweeping. There's a couple different products out there, Lynn. There's a solvent-based version that you can get either in a matte finish or a gloss finish. I know David put that on his own driveway. It's a little more expensive and it's a little bit less user-friendly, but it lasts longer. The one that I use every other year, every couple years, because that's about how long it lasts, depending on the area, is a Behr concrete waterproofer. It's a Behr product, so you love it. You know the company is standing behind it.
Right.
And that's the one I put on, and I love it because there's areas that don't get a lot of traffic, and it'll be 2 years, 3 years later, and it's raining, and the concrete looks dry, and you can actually, you know how when you wax your car, the water beads up on it?
Right.
That's exactly what happens. In fact, I was just messing with Barb. We had it on our front walk, right? And it rained, and I went out there with the blower and blew the driveway off or the walk off because the water was just sitting on it in beads.
Wow.
And she's like, you're a nerd. Get a life.
And it doesn't make it slick or anything,
no.
Does it?
No, it's still concrete, so you get all the traction.
Okay.
So your thinking is 100% correct, and those are a couple options for you.
Okay, super. Thank you. Okay, my next question. This is a little bit out of your category, but house at the beach has a pier, about 150 feet. The wood is old, and it kind of splinters.
Mm-hmm.
So as you walk down the pier, if you're carrying a beach towel, it catches on a splinter. So is there any kind of sealer to put on something like that?
There's nothing that's good. So there's sealer that you can put on it. The challenge will be you're going to get the top okay. The bottom will not be treated, but that's typically not where the issue is.
Right.
The problem is there's not a sealer that's going to go back and retro fix that, right? So there are products called like Decover, and there's products that you can put on there that are thick coatings. And they are waterproof, and they kind of make up, it's like, the preacher's vestments. It covers a multitude of sins, but it's not, in my opinion, aesthetically, how it looks is not so spanky, and it's a temporary fix.
Oh, okay.
I don't know that for the amount of money you would spend to do that, you would be much happier. You could get someone out there, depending on what the boards are, and they can sand them down. Here's another thing that we've seen people do that I put in the okay, that's cheating, but it works category. And I don't. And you said it's. I don't know how long you said the deck was.
It's very old wood.
Yeah, you could unscrew it, pop it up, flip it over, and screw it back down. Yeah. And that side is probably not going to have taken the weather the same way. Although I don't know that for a fact. You might want to check a couple boards. But either way, you're kind of prolonging the agony.
I understand.
the kicking the proverbial can down the road, but it could be a good solution.
Okay. Super. Thank you so much again.
You are welcome, Lynn. Thank you for your call. All right. Zeke, we're back on, air quality. I want to go to the ERV piece, but before we go there, staying with the air quality, because it'll also, there'll be some questions that come up when we talk about the ERV. If you're talking air quality, not humidity, but microorganisms, bacteria, and so on, what's your recommended best solution for that? Because that's year-round, isn't it?
It is. The one that we see more used the most is like the phenomenal air, which is a something you can add to the system, and it does help the those issues. But before we get too far down this, you know, John mentioned something about modifying the house, and that's where we see a lot of. They'll come in and take an existing house, and they'll replace the windows and add attic insulation to it. Well, that just changed the requirements for the air conditioning unit quite a bit, and you end up with the air conditioning unit that can be oversized, sometimes grossly oversized,
right?
And it will not take the humidity out because it just doesn't run long enough to get the humidity out of the air, and that's the one thing that we see more problems with than, you know, because of this energy. Some people, you know, tighten up the house and don't realize that they're, you know, affecting also the heating and cooling system.
So the same would be true if you did spray foam in your attic, right?
Oh, that makes it even more, right?
Because now you've taken away any air infiltration, and you've reduced the heat loss or heat gain.
The heat gain, it's just
heat gain, I guess.
Down to nothing,
Yeah. So good advice. But then, all right. So let me ask this question: when you come out, so if you have a spray foam person or insulation person, they're not thinking about a load calculation on the system as a general rule, right?
Right. Yeah. It's a general rule. You know, they want to. I mean, you call them out there because you want to reduce your energy consumption, and you will reduce the energy consumption because the unit is not going to run as much.
But you got more problems.
But then you got created another problem with the humidity.
All right. Zeke, we got to jump to a break here real quick. We'll come back. So we'll finish up on that before we go to other elements of air quality. Folks, we're talking HVAC, but we'll talk any kind of home improvement, as Lynn demonstrated, that you want to talk about. 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We'll return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show right after these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
We haven't even gotten to the electrical part yet, Zeke. Thanks for being with us. Lots going on. Before we get back into the conversation about systems and air quality, let's do our Home Depot product of the week. This one is an awesome one, very simple. It's the Ryobi One Plus 18-volt cordless wet-dry vac cleaner. It's a 4.75 capacity, super easy to move around. David and I talk about having a little one like that, either for everything you do if you don't have big projects to do, but also just for those little jobs in the car and so on. The fact that it's cordless, runs on the OnePlus system. So if you're already on the OnePlus system, boom, you're in. You got the battery. You got the chargers. If you don't, there's a package that comes with the unit and all the accessories and a charger and a 4-amp hour battery. It's less than $150. But you can't get it out in the garage, and you're not pulling. You can pretty much go wherever you want to go and get the vacuum job done that you want to get done. Stainless steel canister, great easy way to store accessories and hose. The design is really well thought out. And like I said, it's under $150, part of the OnePlus system. We love it. It's the Home Depot product of the week for this week, so check it out. The Ryobi OnePlus 18-volt cordless 4.7-gallon wet-dry vacuum cleaner with a 4-amp-hour battery and charger. And that's it. All right, Zeke, whew, we got a lot, bro. Yeah. We were talking about the fact that when you improve insulation, make it better, less heat gain, spray foaming the attic, hugely less heat gain, sealing up air infiltration by putting new windows in, all those things create complexity for air quality, right?
Right. Yeah. Now so you have a lot less requirements for cooling. So don't get the runtime on the air conditioner to get the humidity out of the house.
That's problematic. All right. Then we're going to bounce back and forth then maybe a little bit. So the whole ERV, recovery?
Energy recovery. Ventilator, right.
So can that help with the scenario you just spoke of?
No, not really. I mean, an ERV just brings, you know, air into the house without bringing in the moisture, so it brings you fresh air. The biggest problem I see with ERV is that people go ahead and put them in, and they spend a bunch of money doing it, and then don't have it maintained. The ERV units have a filter in them, and the filter is recommended to clean or change that filter every 6 months. And then the core of the unit itself that does the heat transfer needs to be taken out and washed in warm soap water at once a year. And most people that have ERVs do have no, especially the ones that buy a new house that has an ERV in it, they're never told that they have to have it maintained, and it goes, you know, for years without having anybody look at it.
Yeah. The information, as my mother used to say, goes in one ear and out the other.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay. Well, because it has an impact on the wallet, you know, goes in the wallet and comes right out the same wallet.
Yeah.
So a couple things then, as you say. So that's just bringing air in for combustion or for energy, to save energy. Can you do some version of that? Let's just say you've got a unit, a heating and cooling unit that is, 3 years old. So it's good. It's running well. Everything is cool. And you got this three-year-old unit, and then you decide to spray foam your attic. And so now your system's going to be oversized. Do you just like suck it up, replace a three-year-old system, or are there ways to bring fresh air in? Or to alleviate, maybe dump some of the cold air somewhere else so that the system runs longer. What options do you have if you make that decision?
None of them are pretty good, you know, because
great.
If you insulated the house, you put the foam in so you would save on energy.
Right.
So the only way to get the unit to run longer, like you were saying, bring in outside air that's humid, hot air. So now you're
dumping
it in the house to make the unit run longer. So you defeated the purpose of the insulation, the foaming of the attic.
Yeah.
So
another quote from my mother: "What are you trying to do? Air condition the neighborhood?"
Mm-hmm.
So you're just dumping. You're dumping it out, yeah. and your efficiency goes down the proverbial toy
right.
All right. All right. So look, we're gonna. So really, this is all about thinking about your home as I think John Canamella said, as you say, as an envelope or the envelope of your home, or that your home is a system.
Yeah, the home is a system. It's everything. I mean,
yeah.
The heating, air conditioning, it's all condition, and it makes a difference. You got, you know, just sealing your ductwork is also something that, yes, is great, but if you have one that was very leaky, now you've reduced the how much you need, so you could overdo it and yeah. have too large a unit. It's, you know, you have to think of the whole thing, not just, you know, put a Band-Aid here and then creates a wound somewhere else.
All right, so look, at the risk of sounding self-serving, I'll say it so you don't have to. Then, really, if you're considering major investments in energy savings around insulation, particularly like foaming an attic or adding insulation or changing out your windows, it probably makes sense to have your HVAC person come out and do a load calculation so that you understand whether the impact of those changes that you're making fall in tolerances, for want of a better word, so that the likelihood of you having an impact to the extent of oversizing your unit and running into trouble is problematic.
Right.
Okay, look, we got to take a break here. I ran past. We're going to go ahead and take a break. 704-570-1110. We'll chat when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the final segment of the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
Zeke, thanks for being with us. We're going to jump right on the phones here. We got some callers coming in. Pat, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you?
Good morning, guys. My question is about a garden tub. The faucet comes out of the surface of the rim of the tub.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's just a little pull-up. And when I pull it up, water leaks out of where you pull it up
mm-hmm.
down to the surface and
yep.
goes everywhere.
Yep.
And I can't see any way to get in there to see what's going on.
Okay. So when you pull it up, there's probably a little cap or something on the very top of the part that you pull up. And you can look at this when we're done talking, and you can send us a note at askjohnanddave.com, even with pictures and stuff, and we can help walk you through it. But there's a little cap probably on the pull-up knob, if you will, that allows you, if you pop it up, there's a screw in there, and you can take that whole knob off. When you do that, it will reveal, first off, you got to turn all the water off, or turn the water off to that device. Sorry, should have said that to begin with. The reason it's leaking is probably there's O-rings on a cartridge that controls whether the water is hot, cold, medium, and whether it's on or off. And over a period of time, those O-rings wear out, and so when you pull it on, you're getting that leak. That is typically what it would be. You'll see, and you can go online to YouTube, or again, you can send us a note at askjohnanddave.com, but there'll be a nut there, typically something that'll allow you to remove the nut and pull that cartridge out. And you can do one of two things, Pat. You can either go to the store with cartridge in hand, and I would recommend that you do that, or if you know the model of the faucet, you can probably order it online. But you can either replace the entire cartridge. If you can't find the cartridge and you're just not sure, then you can get a set of O-rings that will, and you'll see them, they look like black skinny rubber bands, if you will, around like two or three different points on the cartridge. And if you replace those and insert the cartridge back in, you'll probably find that the leak stops. If you go to the store, or when you go to the store to replace either the cartridge or the O-rings, pick up a little thing of plumber's grease. It's usually in a little blue or white. It almost looks like the chapstick stuff you rub on your lips. It's in a little container like that, typically. And if you put that on the cartridge before you put it back in, then it's a lubricant, and that you'll find a couple things. That faucet comes up, or the handle comes up and down much easier, and it reduces the friction, and so the O-rings will last a little bit longer. Was that helpful information?
Yeah, very. Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys very much.
No worries, Pat. If you still got questions, send us an email.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
You too. All right, Kevin, you're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you this morning?
Good. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
So I installed, I'm building a house in Belmont, and I installed a whole home ERV system myself.
Okay.
I do have spray foam across the entire house. So when I ordered it, the tubing that goes to each room, the UL listed version was back ordered like everything else nowadays. So I asked my GC and the HVAC contractor if a non-UL listed version would be fine, and they said yes, it would. So of course I'm running into an issue with the inspector. Mm. He wants to see the UL 181 certification. So do you guys have any advice for getting an exception for this, or covering the tubing to please the inspector?
Well, more than likely, or the one we've run into, is that the that flex line is supposed to have a higher insulation value to get the new, for the new code, and they were not available. When that happened, the at least in Mecklenburg County, they waived that, and you can use the older, less insulated tubing because of a lack of availability. So I'm not sure where you said you were building the house.
I'm in Gaston County.
Gaston, yeah. I'm not sure what Gaston. I would just, you know, talk to the inspector, you know, and see what if there's not a waiver on that particular problem.
What Zeke? How helpful would it be for Kevin to get an actual spec sheet on the product that he bought and
right.
compare it to the spec sheet of the UL listed and present that to the inspector?
Very, very much so. Yeah.
Can you? Is that an option, Kevin? Can you get the specs from the?
Currently, I'm working with the Department of Insurance trying to get an exception. The problem is this tubing is not UL 181.
Yeah.
It's within my envelope. So it doesn't need to be. It doesn't need to have an R rating,
right?
But it seems like the UL listing is the issue, and this tube won't get a UL listing in the United States. But it's fine in Canada, Europe, everywhere else.
Yeah.
It's I think Zeke's idea about a waiver is right, and you're kind of down the right path in making your case, right? It's like it's in the envelope of the house. I don't know, maybe you could get an engineer person to sign off on that, Zeke. Is that an option?
No, if it does not have any UL label on it, it's going to be hard to, because it has to have a UL label. Now, what I was talking before was the flexible ductwork. Some of the old flex had like an R4, then R6, and R8, and the code changed to having to have the better insulation. They would let you go back one to a less insulated, but it still had to have a UL label.
Still UL rated. It was just less of an R value.
Yeah, the UL label still has to be on all products going in.
Well, I understand that. There's been so many reasons. There have been so many things from an import perspective that became problematic down the road. I'm sure everybody's very, very nervous, Kevin. So here we don't have a workaround or a solution for you. It sounds to us like you're on the right path working with the insurance company and the inspections office to say, here's my scenario. Can I be granted some sort of waiver? But it sounds like absent any UL rating, you could have a tough road to hoe.
Yeah, so there's not a workaround where you could wrap it in the UL tape or foam it. You guys aren't aware of anything like that?
Zeke?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Well, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, didn't have better news for you, Kevin.
Mm-hmm. It's fine.
I appreciate your call.
Okay.
Every time I hear Kevin's story, I think about a book I read a while ago called Atlas Shrugged, and I get really nervous. All right, 704-570-1110. We are in the lightning round. Zeke, we still have the good news is you'll be back next month, God willing, and we'll have plenty to talk about because, man, we there's just a lot out there. I don't even want to get down the path of regulations and stuff like that. Maybe real quick, are there any rebates that people should be thinking about if they've got to replace their system?
Yeah, there's a lot of rebates, and it's with the new codes and the new changes, there's quite a bit of rebates, and you just got to to check. It varies a lot. But depending on what you're doing to the house, you can get some, you know, pretty hefty rebates on replacing equipment. And again, the problem is, you know, we can tell you that the rebates are available, and then you can apply for them, but you're going to have to also check with your, you know, tax preparer and make sure that it's going to, you know, because we're not.
You're not tax accountants.
Tax accountants, so it's just.
Well, I got news for you. There's a bill in Congress that says the HVAC provider must be responsible to give good tax advice.
Yeah.
I'm just, all right, we got to roll on that sarcastic note. Yeah. Sorry, everybody. It's still the greatest country on earth. 704-570-1110 is not an option because we are wrapping up. Yeah. And we think, first off, Zeke, again, thank you for being here this morning. Thanks to you and Scott for the great support, great advice.
Thanks for the opportunity to come in.
Yeah, we are so grateful. We think, and I'm pretty sure Zeke would agree, David and I like to tell you every week that we think that the most important kind of home improvement that you can make is the one that makes your home a happier place to live in. With everything else going on, don't forget to work on that project. And we'll see you next week when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.